Hey, good evening, guys. Christmas Eve is kind of the culmination of the Advent season. In the last four Sundays, we've walked through the journey of following the story in Luke, of seeing the birth of Jesus foretold. And tonight is kind of like the culmination of that, where we see that this is not just a prophecy given to the Israelites, but it was actually something fulfilled in the person of Jesus. He actually came and was born, became flesh, became a human, and one day would go to the cross and bear sin and bear shame in our place. He would die a brutal death, but he would rise again on the third day, defeating sin, death, and Satan. And so because of that, today we have hope. And so today we remember the birth of Christ as a moment of deep, deep celebration. And we sing glory to God in the highest because of what he's done. Because he has come to deal with the sin and the brokenness of the world in ways that we never could on our own. And so today we celebrate that Christ has come and Christ will come again. And so let's worship Jesus by doing a responsive reading together. So on the screen, there will be parts that say leader. There will be parts that say people. So I'll read my part, and then together we'll proclaim where it says for people. We're literally just going to be walking through Luke 2, 1 through 14. So let's do this together. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." We're going to light the fifth candle, the Christ candle for Advent. And we're reminded in the Christ candle, we see that it is the largest candle, it's the biggest candle, and it's for a reason. All these candles that we've lit over the last 4 weeks are leading us to something, leading us to what's most important, Jesus, who would come and be the Savior of the world. And so this candle reminds us that God didn't just promise that he would send a Savior. God did send a Savior. Amen? Yes, God, we say glory to you for what you have done. Glory to you, Jesus, for coming and making a way for us where there was no way. It's crazy to think that you would become man, become like us, and take on the brokenness of this world in our place. And we thank you for that glorious news that you've done it and you will come again. And you will make all things new. So may we be a people who wait well and hope well because of what you have done. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
In those days,
a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. That all the world should be registered. This was the first registration.
Joseph also went up.
The town of Nazareth.
called Bethlehem, which is called Bethlehem. He was of the house and lineage of David.
Well, welcome to The Well. We're glad that you are here. Merry Christmas. Thanks to everybody who participated in doing our scripture reading for us tonight. Really appreciate it. We are obviously here celebrating, maybe a night early, but celebrating, right, this birth of the one that God's people had been anticipating, of the one that had been promised, of the one that came to right wrongs, to make things whole. And it's this unique birth among all of scripture, among all of history, that we come to talk about. And so I thought it would be helpful just to see how unique it is if we could just start back in Genesis and just look at every birth recorded in Scripture. And so for the next 95 minutes. Now this morning, I just want to focus on really kind of two things from this story in the first half of Luke chapter 2. They read for us sort of how God used Caesar. God and his sort of sovereign movement of things used Caesar to get Mary and Joseph to where they needed to be so that they would fulfill the prophecy of where this Messiah, where this chosen one was to be born. And then what happens, right? You remember that story? They make their way into town, and it turns out maybe they're the last ones to arrive because the hotel is full. There's no place for them to stay. So they end up having this child, the King of Kings, the Son of God, the chosen one, the Messiah that they'd all been waiting for, and laying him in a manger. It's this simple birth with this poor young couple in this backwoods town, in the humblest of places, in the quietest of ways, and God is fulfilling and breaking open this biggest of movements of all of God's story. He's doing it in this quiet and simple and behind-the-scenes way, reminding us all, God and what he has for us is not just for those who are powerful enough or cool enough or who've done good enough things. He's for those who are lowly, for those who feel unseen, for those who feel like they're from some backwoods town that nobody's ever heard of, and certainly no one would notice them, certainly not the one who has created the universe. The story then jumps, right, to some shepherds sitting in a field who are nearby. They're watching their flock, and then an angel appears. Now, I want you to imagine this with me, especially if you're a kid in here. I want you to imagine with me, you're in a dark field, right? Maybe you're sitting on the grass. Can you imagine with me that you've got your hands touching the grass around you? And you can feel, maybe it's a little bit cold like it is now, and so the grass is kind of hard because it's not green anymore. And you're sitting in that field, and you can see the stars up in the sky, brighter than you've ever seen them before, and you can see the moon shining down, and then suddenly there is this light that's brighter than anything that's ever been seen, right? And it's this angel who's standing in the midst of them, and they're immediately terrified. Wouldn't you be surprised? Maybe you'd be scared, right? That this angel has suddenly appeared in the middle of this dark place that was quiet before that, and suddenly there's this huge, really tall, beautiful angel standing right in their midst, and it says that they were afraid. Now, when I was growing up, when I was about 6, I think, I got to be a part of a Christmas musical in my church, and I got to play the part of the angel. And so when it was that part of the Christmas musical, I was wearing like an all-white, basically terry cloth bathrobe, because we were pretty classy. And I was wearing some like paper wings that my mom had made, and it was all white. And they had a little spotlight that was going to be there when I popped up from behind the altar. I didn't like appear like this angel. I just popped up, and they had a spotlight shining on me. And because the light was so bright, I got to wear sunglasses, and I thought it was super cool. And when I stood up, the people who were playing the shepherds, the kids, my friends who were playing the shepherds, they just screamed bloody murder, ah, right? And I, in my like deepest angel voice, I said, fear not. And then they screamed again. They said, ah. And I said, fear not. And they screamed again. They said, ah, like that. And I said, fear not. What part of fear not do you not understand, right? And then we went on. And we talked about why they weren't supposed to be afraid. And here's why they're not supposed to be afraid. So the angel appears. They're scared. He says, fear not. Here's why. For behold, I bring you good news. Sometimes we call this gospel. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Do you know why they weren't supposed to be afraid? Because God was doing something. They weren't supposed to be afraid because God was doing what God had promised he would do. And this angel was telling them what had been told that God was going to say. And here's the quick takeaway from this, right? For those of us who know that God is good, we talked about this last Sunday, when we know that God is good, that God is faithful, we need not be afraid of what he will say or what he is doing among us. God is ferocious, God is powerful, God is mighty, and it is right for us to respect him and honor him in the way that we're supposed to, but we need not be afraid of what our good God will say and what our good God will do. That means when we're thinking about the scriptures and how they line up with our life and maybe how they don't line up with our life, we need not be afraid because God is good and his ways are good. There is mercy to be found in the correction of the Lord. When God is at work and it makes us uncomfortable and it changes things, maybe things that we don't want to change, we need not fear because our God is good and he is faithful. We fear not the God who is good and who loves us. Right, so this angel screams this out, and as soon as he's finished declaring this good news of great joy for all people, then there's even more angels that appear, right? So imagine with me, especially if you're a little one in here, especially if you're a kid in here, imagine with me you just got used to seeing this gigantic, maybe 8 foot tall, shining, shimmering, glowing angel who's got this big booming voice, and he says, "Fear not." And maybe you just started to look at maybe the way he's dressed, and maybe he's wearing a cool belt, and you're starting to look at his wings, and you're seeing how wide his wings spread out. And just as you start to get used to that, he finishes talking about why they don't need to be afraid. And suddenly, it's not just one angel. It's this whole choir, right? It's dozens, maybe hundreds of angels standing around singing together. And what do they sing together? They say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those in whom he is well pleased." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. He said, "Don't be afraid." And then he says, "Glory to God." And then he said, "Peace to those in whom he's well pleased." Why should you have peace? Why maybe would the shepherds not have had peace up to this point? Why is it that sometimes that Christmas doesn't feel like peace? Why is it that sometimes whenever we look at the news outside, like rolling up to what Christmas was going to be, when we turned on our TVs, we didn't feel peace? Why is it that coming to this moment, whenever we all got out of the car, whenever we were all trying to get in here and get in here on time and look decent and run a comb through our hair, right? Why is it that maybe we didn't feel peace? Because things aren't fixed. There are some things that remain broken. And for these shepherds, they knew that there were things that were broken. There were things that had been hurt. There were things that had been torn and wounded and separated. And they knew that something needed to be fixed. And this angel says, "Fear not, because there's one here who's going to fix things." He says, "Glory to God." Why does God get the glory? Why does God get the honor? Why does he get the attention? Why does he get people and angels singing songs to him? Because he's going to make peace. This is the kind of peace that means goodwill. It means that things get made whole. It means that things that have been torn apart get put back together. It means that things that had long since died get made new. Peace to those in whom he is pleased. Now, the scary part might be, what if you're worried that God might not be pleased in you? How do you get God to be pleased with you? How do you get God to be okay with you? How do you get to be one of those that experiences peace whenever you see an angel of God? Or how do you get to be one of those who experience peace when you know that God is in charge, that God is doing something, that God is saying something? How do you get to be one of those who experiences peace? Is it that you need to work hard enough? Is it that you need to do good enough, right? Is it that you need to work really hard all year to make sure that you do enough good things and don't do enough bad things? No, it's the same one who's been born in the city of David. The Savior has been born. Because in him, hear me here, in him we have one who was born to live a life we couldn't live. The one who was born to live a life we were called to live, that we are called to live, but have been unable to do so. He lives the life we couldn't live. And then the death that we're supposed to die, he dies that death that we were supposed to die. In him, we get a trade. We get this trade where he takes the death we were supposed to die, and we get the life that was rightfully his. Through his resurrection, we get the eternal life we never, ever deserve. That's what we call good news of great joy for all people. It's the gospel. This Christmas, my message to you is this: fear not, for a good and faithful God still speaks and is still at work. And be at peace, those who are in Christ, because in you, he is well pleased. You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to fix it. You didn't have to do it. In Christ, you've been made right, and in you, he is well pleased. Fear not and be at peace. Fear not because a child is born, and because he didn't just get born, because he grew up. Because he grew up and he lived the life we needed. He died the death we needed. He was resurrected that we might get that resurrection power. Fear not, because there was a light that came into the world, and that light was the life of men. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Fear not. Jesus is the light of the world. In a moment, we're going to sing a song, the last song we'll have for you tonight. We'll light candles together, and we'll be ones who carry with us the knowledge that we need not fear him, that we can be at peace if we are in Christ, because he's not done working, he's not done speaking, and he will make all things right. The darkness has not overcome the light. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, you are good to us. You have made good on your promises. You promised a child, and a child was born. You promised one who would be a savior, and a savior was born. You promised one who would make things right, who would set things right, who would provide for the forgiveness of sins, the salvation we genuinely needed, the one who would deliver us from our enemies, particularly those enemies that are us, that are our sin, and you provide it. God, you've made promises that we have seen come true, and so we know that we can trust that you are good and you are faithful. And you've made promises that we have yet to see come true. But because of who you are and what you've done, because we know that Jesus has come into the world, that Jesus lived and died and was resurrected, we know that we can have good reason for hope because Jesus will come again. We need not fear. We can be at peace, for Jesus will come again. Lord, we love you and we trust you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
The declaration that Christ has come, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome.
Thank you for being here and for sharing your Christmas Eve with us. It's precious time, and we are grateful. Now, as you go, may you fear not. May you know that good news and great joy has come into the world, and there is still good reason for hope. May you be at peace because you are in Christ, and with you, he is well pleased. Merry Christmas. Go in peace.